Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Good afternoon and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but I am joined by Evan on the board.
You'll have to take my word for it. He's fine.
He's fine. He's fine. I've spoken to him multiple times today, so I know he's fine. But I appreciate you, Evan, being on the board for the show today. We got quite a big one. You know, we're going to dive into numerous headlines, but you're listening to the show on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison. I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. You're also listening to the program on the Shaw 101 FM WAUK 540 AM. Shout out to our friends in Eureka, California as well, KGOE. Listening out there on the West Coast. But it's an interesting day here in the state of Wisconsin. And I don't necessarily know exactly where to start other than the big headline. Not that the Green Bay Packers have started training camp. I know that's a big headline for a lot of those sports enthusiasts out there.
You blew my mind the second I walked in. Literally the second I walked
in. And the other news of the day isn't the fact that the Milwaukee Bucks have unveiled their new alternative jersey, which looks so good for this upcoming season, and I cannot wait to buy one. It is tangential to the Milwaukee Bucks, though, because the shocking headline of the day today is vice president of the Milwaukee Bucks, Alex Lazary, on leave from that position with the Bucks. But Alex Lazary is dropping out of the U.S. Democratic U.S. Senate race. He has suspended his campaign. We are less than 2 weeks before the August 9th partisan primary here in the state of Wisconsin. And Lazary has dropped out. This is quite a shocker because Lazary has been polling second in most of the polls. And that can open up a huge conversation of whether or not the polling that we've seen conducted here in the state of Wisconsin and some of the national polls that were conducted on this race were accurate or not. But something told Alex Lazary it wasn't in the cards for him, and he decided to suspend his campaign. In doing so, as one of the four frontrunners, he is the second frontrunner in this race to drop out this week. Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson dropped out on Monday. Alex Lazary is also doing what County Executive Tom Nelson did and endorsing Mandela Barnes, the current lieutenant governor, for his bid to be the Democratic candidate to take on Ron Johnson for this seat next fall. And Evan, I find it fascinating. It almost blows my mind because
we got into a violent fight when I got here.
Not a violent fight. Stop it.
Fists were flying. There's blood on the ceiling.
No, that's ketchup on the walls, man.
Oh, damn. That was good.
No, it wasn't a violent fight, but I find it fascinating because I don't know how you, and I mean, all the power to him. If he had the money to do it, fine. But how do you spend more than $12 million on a candidacy to be the next senator for Wisconsin, here in the state of Wisconsin? Spend more than $12 million of your own money. Ballots are already being cast. Absentee voting has been open. In-person absentee voting, early voting, began yesterday in the state of Wisconsin. There are voters that may have already voted for Alex Lazary, or for that fact, Tom Nelson, that we are this close to the primary, and they're dropping out. I don't know how you spend that much money. I don't know how you go through a rigorous campaign more than a year. None of these candidates announced within the last year. These have all been more than year-long campaigns. How do you spend that much money and then 13 days before the primary, not see it through.
Now, I walked in, basically my hair braided, knee socks.
You didn't have the Con Air look going on. You didn't have the Con Air look going on.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Pollyanna all day. I'm thinking, wow, what a guy. You know, it's early. And I was thinking about this in the interviewing moments before the show. I think the reason why I feel that way is that I haven't heard a single breath of negativity between the candidates, right?
Well, that must be one of the factors, I believe, yeah, that led to Alex Lazary choosing not to go scorched earth. He must have, there's only a few scenarios out there where this decision makes any sense to me. And one of those decisions is that Lazary's internal polling, or one of those scenarios is Lazary's internal polling showed that he was far enough, he was in second place, but far enough away that the only way that he could win the nomination in the next 13 days is if he went scorched earth against Mandela Barnes, and he didn't want to do that. And that's honorable.
It's more than honorable. It's necessary. I mean, this image of a unified party right now is really one of the most powerful tools we can have.
Yeah. And the other alternative, one of other alternatives out there would be that Lazary's internal polling maybe wasn't as high as it was. The first thing that I thought of when this news broke was the DPW, Democratic Party of Wisconsin's convention earlier this year. Lazary was a distant third in the straw poll. If he was third. I don't even remember, honestly, who was third, but if it was anyone, I believe it was Lazary. But he was far behind the straw poll of current Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes and current State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, who is the remaining frontrunner along with Barnes now that Nelson and Lazary have dropped out this week. And so this announcement today shakes up the entire primary field. And like I said, people are already voting. Votes have already been cast, most likely, for both Nelson and Lazary.
Are those just gone then?
No, they get tabulated.
I mean, I understand they're tabulated, but they're tabulated, you know, for Nelson and Lazary. There's not some weird parlay system where
we don't have ranked choice voting. That's a better way to put it. If we had a democracy that operated in the 21st century, maybe we would be able to adopt policies like ranked choice voting. And so if this scenario happens, your vote wouldn't be wasted. But unfortunately, to say, I believe if you cast a ballot for any of the candidates that have dropped out but filed properly and were on the deadline to be on the ballot, their votes get counted for those candidates. The same goes for Kevin Nicholson. He dropped out of the Republican gubernatorial primary, and I don't know exactly. I'd have to check the timeline. I don't know if absentee ballots were already valid to be sent in, but there's a scenario out there where a Wisconsin voter could have voted for Kevin Nicholson in the Republican gubernatorial primary, and he dropped out after that vote was cast. So I would have to check the timeline, but I know for sure that absentee ballots were already being collected by the time that Nelson and Lazary dropped out this week. And so it is going to shake up the Democratic primary field. There are two candidates. The diehard partisans that were at the DPW earlier this year had a straw poll that their preference was Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and by 2 points fewer, Sarah Godlewski, State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski. And so I had a feeling it was going to shake down to kind of a two-way race between those two candidates in the first place. In my opinion, they were two of the strongest candidates in the field. And now with this week's news, Lazary and Nelson are both endorsing Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and it seems like he's in the driver's seat when it comes to this campaign or this primary. I don't know how this unfolds. This is going to be an interesting next couple of 13 days. We got the former president coming next Friday, as we found out yesterday. We've got this primary news. We got a number of Wisconsin headlines that we're going to get to, but I also want to get to your calls. Did you cast a vote for Lazary or Nelson? Is your vote in this partisan primary going to be kind of tossed to the side, or have you been waiting? You're making a plan to vote either in person early or going on election day on August 9th for the partisan primary. Give me a call. Send me a text, 844-967-2789. I want to hear from the listening audience what your thoughts are on today's shakeup news, because this is a pretty big ramification. It's either going to be a for lack of a better term, dogfight to the end now between two candidates, or it's going to be one candidate running away, and that candidate being Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. And whether or not, I mean, Barnes has been consistently polling in the lead. He, I believe, in the most recent poll had 39% of the vote. That's still a ton of undecided voters, though. That's not necessarily a runaway yet. And so keeping an eye on this race is going to be crucial to find out who, which Democrat is going to be going up against incumbent Senator, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. And today's, I'm a little shocked, I guess. It's still a bombshell of a news story that Alex Lazary dropping out less than two weeks before the August 9th primary. And the fact that ballots are being cast, votes are being counted. Well, excuse me. Absentee ballots don't get counted until Election Day. So those votes aren't being counted yet, but they are being received by clerks around the state. And early voting began yesterday. Individuals are going in person and voting absentee. And two of the four front runners in the U.S. Senate Democratic primary are no longer in the race as of this point this week.
Like peacefully.
Peacefully, yes. I mean, it's given me a little bit of a vibe from 2020 when kind of the field coalesced around now President Joe Biden. It was a very quick process then as well. It was a crowded field, and slowly but surely, and that mostly had to do with COVID. I don't believe this is COVID related. I'm curious to know, and I'm very interested to hear if we're going to get more reports out of the Lazary campaign of what was going on and what led to this decision 13 days before. I got a couple of other theories that I want to float to you, as well as taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Minus the Brian this afternoon, but with Evan on the board and you on the phone lines. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. You're listening on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and the Shaw 101 FM. Keep it locked. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Minus the Brian this afternoon, but you know, we're making it through all right. Big guy's working on important projects. Getting really some exciting work done. And
getting buff.
We can't wait. Just imagine if it was that was the whole reason. Just like a mantra.
He comes back just, like Rob McElhenney, you know, in season 9 of It's Always Sunny, just all of a sudden cut, dude.
Yeah. See, the first thing I thought of was Mr. Incredible from The Incredibles.
Sure.
But this is Dueling Tangents. We go to some of them sometimes, but you can also give us a call and share your tangent with us or your thoughts on the headlines of the day. 844-967-2789. We are talking about the breaking news earlier today. Alex Lazary, vice president on leave from the Milwaukee Bucks, dropping out of the race for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate here in the state of Wisconsin, less than 2 weeks, 13 days before the partisan primary is set to take place. People are already voting in that partisan primary, though. So it's underway. Voting is underway in this primary that Alex Lazary has dropped out of. And I find it interesting. And I want to share some of my takes as well as hear from you on the phone lines. Up first this afternoon, we're going to go to John in Watertown. John, what are your thoughts today?
I guess I just turned your station on, so I really didn't hear the first part of the show. But I was under the impression, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but if a candidate drops out, like, okay, today Alex Lazary dropped out. Now, did he throw his support behind any other candidate?
He did. He endorsed, in suspending his campaign, he endorsed Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in his bid for the race.
Okay, now, wouldn't his votes then go to Mandela Barnes since...
That's sort of what I had asked earlier. That goes back to what Luke had said about ranked choice voting. If you hadn't heard that part, we don't have ranked choice voting here. So, you know, those votes for Lazary are votes for Lazary.
Yeah, there's no mechanism in the state of Wisconsin for a ballot cast for a specific candidate. If that candidate drops out, for it to count towards any other candidate. It doesn't exist in our state, John. Yeah. So even though... Correct. Even though Alex Lazary is endorsing in this race now Mandela Barnes, he doesn't receive his vote totals if and however many there are in the partisan primary. It doesn't work that way. The endorsement is more of a nice, this is who I'm supporting. You should support them if you supported me. And it doesn't even work that way every time because... I know in the Democratic primary back in 2020 for president, there were a lot of people that thought, well, if you like Pete Buttigieg, but when Pete Buttigieg dropped out, you're going to endorse, say, Joe Biden at the time. A lot of Pete Buttigieg supporters' second choice was actually Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. And so there's a lot of different crossover. It's important to remember that voters, especially here in the state of Wisconsin, are not a monolith.
They don't make sense.
Oh, no, there's a lot of interesting... More than 100,000 people voted for Scott Walker and Tammy Baldwin in 2018.
Yeah.
It's a very interesting breakdown here in the state of Wisconsin.
That is strange.
Yes. So...
You answered my question, so I appreciate that. It just seemed to me like that would be the logical way to do that.
Well, and we could move forward with some reforms to voting and go towards ranked choice voting, but unfortunately, nothing like that would pass the Republican-led Wisconsin legislature. That's not something they are too busy to actually do anything really this year. They wrapped up legislative business at the end of February, beginning of March. So appreciate your call, John. You could be like John and be like Andrew out in Waukesha calling in. Andrew, what's on your mind today?
Thanks for taking my call. Here's a tangent. In regards to ranked voting, there's nothing stopping the parties from implementing ranked voting in an endorsement process. I know the Democratic Party doesn't have an endorsement process, but it's a terrible idea for statewide voting. This announcement by Lazary is an interesting opportunity, though, for voters in Robin Voss's district, because now essentially if a Democratic voter is in a majority Republican district, they really have no primaries that would, you know, drive them or motivate them to come out and vote in. You guys complain about Robin Voss, and myself as a conservative, I don't like Robin Voss's leadership at all. I think it's time for him to go. What do you think about those Democratic voters in his district coming out and voting for his opponent and taking this opportunity to kick Voss out?
Well, that's an interesting point, and I'd love to hear a little bit, Andrew, from you, why you think ranked choice voting is a bad idea. But at the same time,
even bringing it up is going to—that's a tangent, though.
Hey, that's what this show's all about. But let me answer your question about the Robin Voss, because those Democratic voters, unfortunately, if they want to still vote in the Democratic primary, say they have a preference between Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes and State Treasurer Sarah Godlewski, the two front runners in the race now. They wouldn't be able to cross over between it because Wisconsin has a partisan primary. So you can only vote.
That's important for people to understand. Yes, you would have to choose between voting for Voss's opponent or having your voice heard. But again, if you're looking at the polls and you see these endorsements for the candidates that dropped out and they're endorsing Mandela Barnes, you kind of think, well, he's probably got it wrapped up. You know, large number, big perspective, these Democratic voters in Voss's district could have a much bigger impact on Wisconsin politics than just casting a vote in the Democratic primary for senator.
I find it an interesting idea and an interesting tangent, Andrew, and I appreciate your call. But one of the things that I think as well, though, is Robin Voss and getting him out there, out of his office, I don't think should have to be a Democratic voters in his district to choose his primary opponent. That sounds like if Republicans in Wisconsin truly want to stand up and not condone what Robin Voss does as leadership, the state assembly could vote him out of that position. The individual members elected to that body have have agency and have the ability to say, if that's not the direction we want our party to go in, we're not voting for it anymore. So I think it's Republicans that need to take care of that problem. And I agree. I think Robin Voss should go. But he's got a pretty good gerrymandered map, and he's got a pretty tight control on the power of the Republican Party in the legislature, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. So appreciate your call, Andrew. Please call back again soon. I got a number of other callers that we're going to get to as well, but this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're going to be coming up on a short break, going to get to a number of other Wisconsin headlines, and taking more calls, 844-967-2789. We will be right back.
Oh, Carolina, what you been fed? 'Cause I was walking in a dream. What you
Welcome back. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Sub in the Evan for the Brian this afternoon because he's on the board and you're on the phone lines. 844-967-2789. And, Evan, I learned something new in this last little commercial break. And I quickly, you know, I'm trying to do a little research on it, try to figure out the details so I can share it, but I stand corrected. There is a remedy if you voted already via absentee ballot for Tom Nelson or Alex Lazary. There is a remedy for you to be able to reconcile that, and we have one caller specifically to thank for this information. Want to dive into it a little bit. We got Michael calling in from an undisclosed location. But Michael, tell me what you know about spoiled ballots and remedying spoiled ballots here in the state of Wisconsin.
Sure, no problem. I'm in Fitchburg. So you can anytime, unless something's changed recently, anytime up until the Thursday before the election, you can get a hold of your clerk and request that the ballot that they have in their office be spoiled. And you'll go into your clerk's office, they'll rip it in half, put it in an envelope, and they'll give you a new ballot if you want to do that. Now, one smart thing to do before you ask them is go to myvote.wi.gov and make sure that the ballot is at the clerk's office. I don't think there's anything they could do for you if the ballot's not already there. So you might want to check that first and save everyone some time and make sure it's there. But if it is, according to the WEC, a memo they put out in 2020, it looks like you're allowed to revote.
Yeah, I'm looking at some Wisconsin Elections Commission pretty much like Q&As essentially ahead of the 2020
yep.
November election when absentee voting was pretty much at its peak. It was the largest election to that point. The state had conducted a spring primary in general, but then also that fall election in 2020, and that was the largest election that we had seen absentee ballot use because of the pandemic, because of the popularity that presidential elections bring to voting in the state. They put out this Q&A in 2020 about spoiling absentee ballots. And so I did not know that information. It was still news to me, even though they put this out a few years back. I find it fascinating because you can remedy that. And so I appreciate that. I want to repeat the deadline. It is the Thursday by 5 p.m., by 5 p.m. the Thursday before the election. So the Thursday before the election this year will be August 4th. Up to 5 p.m. on August 4th, you can remedy a ballot cast for a candidate that is no longer in the race that you had sought to. As long as the clerk has it, you can and get rid of that. And so I appreciate that information, Michael, because I think that's extremely helpful for both myself and I didn't vote absentee yet, but it's good for me to know, and I appreciate you being able to share that information with me and the listening audience today. I really appreciate your call.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for the great show.
Thank you so much. And so, yeah, it's fascinating. There is a remedy, not ranked choice voting remedy, like we had discussed earlier in the show, but I do find that interesting. So if you cast your ballot already, there's still hope. You got until 5 p.m., 1 week from tomorrow, to be able to remedy that spoiled ballot. And you could do it up to three times, which I find fascinating.
I think I know what the breaking news chyron on Fox is going to be next week. Something about spoiled ballots and fraud.
Yeah, you think the Fox executives are tuning in right now?
Just the rhetoric is right. Spoil, you know? Like, oh my God. It's so convoluted. This stuff, first of all, that was an amazing call. Like, thank you so much for that contribution.
Yeah,
I also learned that. And I'm also upset that I didn't know that. This system is so tangled up.
Well, the absentee ballot voting and that is something that the state's been doing and the country's been doing for a really long time, but it wasn't something that everybody used. You've got a handful of states. I want to say 5 or 6 states around the country that do all vote by mail, which I think is fantastic because it lowers the barrier. If you receive a ballot and you're asked to fill that ballot out and send it back, but you're automatically set to receive that ballot, that is a way to increase participation. And these states put in programs, the state of Wisconsin's absentee ballot program, to verify the who is requesting ballots, who is able to sign the ballots and then send them back in and have them counted. And all of the safeguards that are there make it a safe and reliable way to vote, but only people overseas, only people with disabilities were really using the system before the world was thrown into chaos and the COVID-19 pandemic hit in 2020. And the fact that we were able to have a system in place that got scaled up and used so that voting was accessible to everyone through this means, I think is terrific. But the fact that there are actors out there, bad faith actors out there, that want to throw doubt and chaos and say that it is not a trustworthy way to vote is crazy, because the program already thought of this. The program already thought about, well, what if I use absentee ballot voting and say 13 days before an election, my candidate of choice drops out of the race? There is a remedy for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can fix a spoiled ballot, and you can go and take care of that at your local clerk's office. So I find that fascinating. And I really appreciate your call, Michael. You can be like Michael and all of our other great callers so far this show. 844-967-2789. You can share some killer information like that, or you can just share a tangent about what's going on and your thoughts on the headlines today. You can call or text that number, 844-967-2789. So the news of the day, Alex Lazary, vice president on leave from the Milwaukee Bucks, is dropping out of the race, throwing it into chaos for the U.S. Senate primary, Democratic primary, that is taking place on August 9th, 13 days from now. He endorsed Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, and it's shaping up. There are all of these candidates that were running, Tom Nelson, Alex Lazary, and numerous other candidates besides Godlewski and Barnes are still going to be on the ballot, but I have a feeling this is going to come down to a Godlewski-Barnes showdown. And this is my thought, Evan. And before I get to the other Wisconsin headlines, I want to share what I believe may have also led to today's decision. Because I don't think somebody spends more than $12 million on a campaign to get elected to be the next senator of a state and drops out less than 2 weeks before, just because it's not the money ran out. That was Tom Nelson's tweet on Monday. The money dried up for the Nelson campaign. That's why they had to get out. It wasn't a money problem. I have a feeling one of two things. Either party insiders outside of Wisconsin, so national Democratic figures, were hinting to the Lazary campaign that it was time to get out of the race. You don't bow out, you don't invest that much money into trying to get elected to be senator. You don't have people filling out ballots for your name already in the election process, and then just bow out 13 days ahead of time. I have a feeling, I mean, I'm not saying any names specifically, but there are a lot of national names that came out and endorsed Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in this race. I don't know if there was a specific conversation to the Lazary campaign saying, hey, this is the candidate that the National Party is picking. I don't think the National Party would go as far to do something like that. They're not going to put their thumb on the scale of a crowded primary like we have here in Wisconsin. But that could be one of the options. The second thought is, because of the results of the straw poll, because where the DPW's convention showed the activists of the party, the dedicated Democrats in Wisconsin that went up to La Crosse and attended the convention and did a straw poll for who they supported in the primary, the fact that Alex Lazary was in a distant third, I'm curious to know if his internal polling showed that same makeup of the electorate occurring 13 days from now.
My internal polling showed that, yeah, he was far, far behind. People just didn't buy it. They didn't like the idea of the son of a billionaire doing the good work.
And you saw that in some of the Marquette Law School polling, in a head-to-head matchup between Ron Johnson and any of the Democratic candidates, Alex Lazary was lagging behind in those matchups. I've heard the sentiment that, well, what's the difference between two millionaires going at it to see who's the next senator is going to be? There are comparisons that were made in that regard. But I think it may have been almost an image thing as far as, well, you don't want to spend more than $12 million to end up in a distant third on election day. Simply not what you want to do.
To but preserve you, some of that
right.
for next time,
but
really.
But if you spend $12 million but then graciously bow out 2 weeks before the primary, throw your support behind who you believe is going to be the likely candidate, that makes the distant third showing a lot more like, hey, that was inevitable.
Then you have guys like me coming into work in Nissan saying, wow, what a guy.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Well, and I don't think it was all just for gracious looks, but I have a feeling maybe that could have been one of the cases as well. So I'm not quite sure. We're going to hear a lot more reporting about this. I believe it's going to be interesting to see where the field lies after this really huge shakeup that happened today with the Alex Lazary campaign announcing that he is suspending his bid for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate 13 days from now. And so those election results are going to get tabulated. We're going to have some really fun here on across the civic media stations, Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM, as well as the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. And we're going to be doing some election night coverage. We're going to have correspondents going out to different parties of the candidates. We're going to be having a ton of different debates and breakdowns of the election results on August 9th. Going to be some special election night coverage from 8 to 11 p.m. here on these stations. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that as well, because all your favorite show hosts are going to be participating in those conversations, breaking down and sharing live on the ground coverage. But the field is definitely different today. It's shaping up to be a two-way race for the Democratic nomination to U.S. Senate here in the state of Wisconsin. And it's not like we're going to have a lot of polling going on from now to 13 days from now. It's going to come down to where individuals and voters want to throw their support in the Democratic field. And I for one, am fascinated to see what happens in these 13 days. It's going to be a very interesting time. But I want to dive now into a headline involving all of these candidates in the Democratic field are looking to replace, that is, incumbent Senator Ron Johnson. And Ron Johnson saw himself on the opposite side of another bipartisan vote in the U.S. Senate today. And I find it interesting because there's a lot of these. There's individuals out there that contend the filibuster fosters bipartisanship. Filibuster we can't do away with because it alone is the thing creating bipartisanship. And Ron Johnson has said that. And he again just finds ways to vote against all of these bipartisan efforts that are making their way through the U.S. Senate. This is a headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Ron Johnson votes against bipartisan legislation to ramp up production of U.S.-made semiconductor chips. A lack of semiconductor chips is a big reason why we are seeing a lot of the inflation and supply chain problems that we're facing. When you can't have, there's a high demand and a low amount of these semiconductor chips.
And we're talking literally growing silicon crystals, right? I mean, it's an expensive process. It takes a long time. You can't just say, okay, let's make more of them. So yeah, these supply chain issues sort of stacked up hard. We're going to be feeling this for years.
Yeah. And so the U.S. needs to try to find a way, because for many years, manufacturing of these semiconductor chips went overseas, out of our country's control. The manufacturing of them, even though we rely on them in so many different products, everything that's got a smart whatever before it uses these semiconductor chips. There's a shortage of cars on lots because all of these cars have the smart technology that need these semiconductor chips. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson says, well, that's just you know, corporate socialism. We're just helping out the big business, bringing back manufacturing jobs to the United States. That's corporate socialism.
Let's get a salmon farm.
His tax cut, you know, helped include pass-throughs that gave hit donors to his campaign alone, like $200 million in tax savings. That is not corporate socialism. But allowing the United States to become dependent on semiconductor chips, that's corporate socialism. Ron Johnson, fascinating case study. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Dueling Tangents. Luke and Brian. Got Evan on the board, Brian out in our thoughts today. He's always with us in our thoughts, but he's, you know, doing important work. And you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. Talking really the U.S. Senate race as a whole here in the state of Wisconsin. Both the Democratic primary to find out who is going to be nominated here in the state to take on incumbent Senator Ron Johnson this fall. Giving a little update about what Rojo's up to in Washington. Just, again, 17 other Republicans voted for this measure. 17. And Ron Johnson found himself again in the 33 Republicans that did not vote for it. Very similar to the bipartisan infrastructure bill. Didn't vote for it. The bipartisan common sense gun legislation was passed this summer in the wake of the Uvalde, Texas, and Buffalo, New York shootings. Rojo found himself on the backside of that as well. Wisconsin is, we talked about this earlier, it's a fascinating state. Wisconsin voters are not monoliths. They care about different things and they vote in different tendencies. 100,000 voters in 28, more than 100,000 voters in 2018 cast a ballot for both Republican incumbent Governor Scott Walker and incumbent Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin. Wisconsinites want elected officials that are going and working on these issues. Ron Johnson is consistently, even when it's a bipartisan effort, he doesn't have to be a hero. He doesn't have to go out of his way. He could have the Senate Majority Leader, or excuse me, Senate Minority Leader, Mitch McConnell, previously Senate Majority Leader, last session, but Mitch McConnell voted for this. Mitch McConnell voted for the infrastructure as well. That's like all the green light you need when you're in the minority party. If your minority leader is voting for these issues, that gives you the green light as a member of the minority to go along with the bipartisan effort as well. And apparently, Ron Johnson's just like, nah, I only like corporate socialism when it's tax cuts for my donors. That's what I like corporate socialism for. So, the other news of the day in that race and the nomination and the election process for U.S. Senate, Alex Lazary, Democratic candidate for that nomination, dropped out of the race and endorsed Mandela Barnes, current Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, in his bid to be the Democratic nominee. So it's going to get really interesting here in the next 13 days. People are already voting. We found out as well, thanks to an excellent caller, that you can, if you voted for a candidate that has recently dropped out, Tom Nelson, Alex Lazary, Kevin Nicholson in the Republican gubernatorial race. I don't know. He's still going to be on the ballot. I know that. So if you did vote for him, even though he had announced that he dropped out, but you didn't know, you can go reconcile that. You're a spoiled ballot. But we're going back to the phone lines, taking your calls, 844-967-2789. We got Joe in Madison calling in now. Joe, what's on your mind?
I know we're short on time, but I'd just be curious to hear your reflections on what this means with Lazary's support within Milwaukee and also within unions. He worked very strongly, I think, to indicate his support for unions. And then also with Nelson and his ties to the North and kind of that more rural perspective. I'll take my answer off there, but I'd be really curious to hear what you think about how that affects this race with their support heading toward Barnes. Thanks.
Absolutely, Joe. Appreciate your call. And I think it is interesting because the other candidates in the race and all of the polling up till now, we've seen each candidate of the four front runners slowly gaining more, some more than others, slowly gaining more support in the polling up to the date. We had a ton of undecided voters in the Democratic primary. We still do. There's still a ton of undecided Democratic voters. And to tell you the truth, Joe, I don't know how this decision is going to affect those undecided voters. I don't know if they were undecided because they didn't know which candidate they wanted to choose between Nelson and Lazary and Barnes and Godlewski. I don't know if it was the fact that there were so many options they didn't know if there's only two options now out of the front runners, Barnes and Godlewski. I don't know if that simplifies the decision for undecided voters. If the people that were holding out and maybe leaning towards Godlewski and Nelson, and they now choose between Godlewski because Nelson is out of the race, or if they were throwing their support either behind Lazary or Barnes, that they just make that decision to go with Barnes now that Lazary is out. I don't know if it's that simple. Again, polling it's not a perfect science. It is a temperature check at any given point in time. And so the fact of today's news coming out and then this news of Alex Lazary suspending his campaign less than 2 weeks before the election, I don't know. The only thing I know is it's going to throw some uncertainty into this. Some voters that supported Lazary, now that he's endorsed Barnes, may just make the simple decision that they're going to go with Mandela Barnes as their nominee. And that's who they're going to vote for. But there may be voters out there that were torn between Godlewski and Lazary. And just because Lazary endorsed Barnes in this process doesn't mean that they're not going to go with their vote for Godlewski. It's going to be really tricky. I find it fascinating. I alluded to this earlier. I've said it on previous shows. My idea, my thoughts of the race was it was going to come down to a two-way race between Godlewski and Barnes in the first place. They were the two strongest candidates in the primary. They're the candidates myself that I've been going back and forth on just trying to decide where I want to throw my support. And I have a feeling a lot of other Democratic voters in the state of Wisconsin are in a similar boat, or even Republican voters that say, hey, they want to choose which candidate they want Ron Johnson to go up against this fall. And there's a lot of uncertainty. So it's an interesting time right now, Joe, and appreciate your call. One more quick call before the end of the show. We got Gary in Sussex calling in. Gary, what's on your conservative mind this afternoon?
Good. I'm glad that we have to be civil, you and me. You're a nice guy, and I like listening to you. So just because I have a difference of opinion, you got to hear me out, okay?
Now, hang on, Gary. I don't have to hear you out, but I choose to hear you out sometimes.
Yeah, I know you do. Most of the time before you decide to get mad and you hang up on me or something like that, but it's your show.
You're almost out of time, Gary.
Yes, okay. Russ Feingold, who would ever thought that anybody could beat Russ Feingold? Ron Johnson did, okay? I think no matter what, the Democrats can have a really, really, really hard time beating Ron Johnson. Now, as far as the thing with the chips and everything like that, I have no idea why he could push this thing. I think he's wrong if he did.
He did. He was one of 33 to vote against it. So you got to call him up, Gary, and you got to ask him about it then. You should let him know that you're upset with that decision. But I don't believe that Ron Johnson is this inevitable force that can't be beaten. His polling has never been, and again, it's not an exact science, but his polling has never been further underwater.
He's doing so bad that he's cool with gay marriage.
He's never polled this low. And 2010, when he first came in, was a Tea Party wave. And he's also not the candidate that he was in 2010. Everybody can tell you that about Rojo. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon. Really appreciate Evan on the board. I will be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then.